Well, it's good to be together in God's house to worship the Lord, and a very warm welcome to you all as you worship with us on this Lord's Day. Now, today we're going to be praying and ending our week of prayer emphasis for the needs of missions and missionaries and some international needs as well that we support. So we're also going to be remembering in those prayers the remaining two letters of the acronym ACTS, Thanksgiving and Supplication. So hopefully we're going to be able to incorporate those letters into our praying, the duties of thanksgiving to God for all of his mercies, and also the other duty of coming before him in supplication, asking that he might work on behalf of his people and of the various needs that we are praying for. And so we are going to give thanks to God for his constant mercies to us. The Lord's mercies are new every morning, are they not? And for his providences to us, and for the works, for the good of all that love him and worship him. And yet we are still able to meet, both in terms of the law and in terms of the whole committee who have given us special dispensation to meet since we are a church. And I think that's a real note of thanksgiving that we need to remember this morning in our praying, that the Lord has allowed us to continue to meet, even though everyone else is not allowed, in fact, to use this hall. So we give thanks to God for his grace and his goodness to us all in all of these practical areas of worship. And we also give thanks to God for his grace given to us as individuals over the last year. As I look over the congregation, I see the way in which the Lord has helped and enabled and strengthened and supported and assisted many of you during difficult times. Some have lost loved ones over the past year. Some are looking after ones who are close to being called home. And the Lord has helped and been with us all in and through those things and continues to do so. So we're going to also give thanks to God for his goodness and grace to all and every one of us, giving us all the health and strength that we need to do all that we have to do in this life, but also that he has kept us healthy so far from this awful virus that has been going around circulating in the last 10 or 11 months here. And we might do well to remember the words of this very simple hymn when recalling the goodness of God to us over the difficult years that have passed. It's a simple hymn, and we're not going to sing it. I'm just going to remind us of it. The opening hymn will come in a minute. But when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Well, it's marvellous what the Lord has done and will indeed continue to do. So let us be encouraged in our praying this morning. Thank you for all of you who attended on Wednesday evening. We had a wonderful prayer meeting. There were many prayers, warm prayers offered up to the Lord, and we trust that also today will be the same. Well, our call to worship this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 5. And this is what it says. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Well, let us come to him and let us take refuge in him now as we open this service in prayer. Let us bow our heads. Our Lord, upon this day of worship, upon this day that has been set apart by you for your holy worship, we come, O Lord, upon bended knee, remembering that we come before the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so help us this day, O Lord, as we would come to worship you, as we would come to pray. Help us to come in a spirit of worship, and let us bow our heads, but also our hearts, O Lord, in your presence and in total submission to you. Help us now, and let us give us help through the agency of your Spirit in a little while to pray together and to be drawn together as a church and as a congregation before you, the one true God. For this we ask now in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your hymn books with you, I'd like you to turn to hymn number 121. We're going to read this hymn, or I'm going to read this hymn maybe, and you're going to listen, as these things are in these days. But this is a wonderful hymn, and we have one who in Wales is called the Sweet Singer of Wales, William Williams, one of Wales's most treasured hymn writers, and I would almost put this Joseph Addison as the Sweet Singer of England. Comparing and looking at the way in which the hymn is written and the words that are used and the sheer experiential note that there is in the words of this hymn. And so surely this has to be one of the great contenders for one of the great hymn writers of England. And I was so impressed by the hymn, I looked up a little bit on Joseph Addison. Born in 1672, well, as you can see on the page, 1672, but the hymn was originally written in 1712. And we have us, for our reading here, 6 verses. Well, the original was 13 verses long. And it is, the words are available on the internet, but we're not going to go into 13 verses today. We're going to do 6. A.W. Tozer said of this hymn, "The thankful Christian will turn with true delight to the expression of Joseph Addison in this thanksgiving hymn. Here is the spirit of thanksgiving. Here is the understanding of what pleases God in our acceptance and use of his gifts." Well, it's a hymn of thanksgiving, and we begin by thanking God for his goodness to us in the past year. So let's follow from the first verse of hymn number 121. "When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with a view I'm lost in wonder, love and praise, unnumbered comforts on my soul thy tender care bestowed, before my infant heart conceived, from whom those comforts flowed. When worn with sickness, oft hast thou with health renewed my face, and when in sins and sorrow sunk, revived my soul with grace. 10,000 precious gifts my daily thanks employ, nor is the least a cheerful heart that tastes those gifts with joy. Through every period of my life, thy goodness I'll pursue, and after death in distant worlds, the glorious theme renew. Through all eternity to thee, a joyful song I'll raise. But oh, eternity is too short to utter all thy praise." And indeed, it is. Eternity will be too short to utter the praise of God. Well, let us come now to the Bible reading for this morning. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 4. And you might think that's a strange reading for the ending of a week of prayer, but we shall see what comes out of this in a little while. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis It's a rather sad account of proceedings as the world grows and develops. And here is the account of what happens. Genesis chapter 4 at verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehuyael, and Mehuyael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naama. Lamech said to his wives, "Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to his red word to us this morning. Turn again in your hymn books, please, to hymn number 18. Hymn number 18. Another hymn of worship from the time of the Reformation, or just a little post-Reformation maybe. "Lo, God is here, let us adore and own how awesome is this place. Let all within us feel his power and silent bow before his face, who know his power, his grace who prove, serve him with fear, with reverence, love. Lo, God is here, him day and night, the united choirs of angels sing, to him enthroned above all height, heaven's host their noblest praises bring. Disdain not, Lord, our meaner song, who praise you with a stammering tongue. Being of beings, may our praise your courts with grateful fragrance fill. Still may we stand before your face, still hear and do your sovereign will. To you may all our thoughts arise, ceaseless accepted sacrifice. May the Lord take these hymns as his worship, even though we are not singing them this morning. The truth may resound in our hearts. Well, there's a reminder here next for what we can incorporate into our praying this morning, and I've asked a number of men to pray and to prepare to pray beforehand for some of the needs that we are going to be praying for today. So they will be thought through and prepared prayers, but there will also be a time in between these prayers for the congregation as a whole to add their prayers as well. I'm hoping that can be all done as well as a shorter sermon than usual within about the hour's time. We shall see anyway, but we shall do our best. But I want all of us to be encouraged this morning to pray for these needs and to give thanks to God. Thanks to God for temporal mercies, for keeping us during this pandemic, for his healing hand and his using of medicine and doctors to treat those who are ill. And let us thank God also for being able to continue meeting in person to worship the Lord together. Pray, as always, for our elder generation as well. They are particularly vulnerable at times like these. And pray for the vaccine, that will go out in fairly short order to the population. But also, we can thank God, can we not, for spiritual provision as well during this time. Let's thank the Lord for what we have, our services. I know that we are rather constricted at the moment in what we are allowed and able to do, and we are only able to meet once a Sunday, but we are still meeting in the week as well. Let's thank God for that, for our prayer meeting, for the sense of fellowship that we glean from that, even though it is an electronic fellowship in a sense. The gracious use of the hall to us continues. And then also for the cards that were distributed over the Christmas period to the estate on Mearside here. So let's remember all of these things, if we can. If you remember one of them and pray for them, that would be good. Let's also remember our weekly services into this new year of 2021. More than any of these, may we have a time of being real with the Lord and of seeking his face, not simply coming to ask, as good as that is, but let's also seek him for who he is. Let's love him. Let's worship him in our praying. Let's come with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication as we pray, remembering who our Lord and God is. Well, I want to just turn us back to Genesis chapter 4 before we come to the time and matters of prayer today. I'm not going to be too long this morning, but it may be that I will be able to preach this chapter in its entirety. That's not what I'm doing today. I need to say that at the outset. But my focus today is going to be really on verses 25 and 26 at the end of this chapter. And we see the wonder of what is recorded there, especially the last sentence that at that time men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, our able elder Karen did us a wonderful Bible study on these chapters about 18 months ago, I think, isn't it? About 18 months ago, and went through them with great diligence. And so we possibly will be reminded this morning for some of the points that he made. But let's look at this again. It's a depressing passage in many ways, isn't it? It's not a great positive story of the development of mankind. It records the descent of Cain's descendants into sin and into depravity. We have here in the two final verses then that little ray of light, the hopeful birth of one called Seth. We might pass over that very quickly without giving it a second thought, but wait upon that very statement, the birth of Seth. That means something wonderful in this passage, and it is the only really greatly positive thing that you can find in the whole of this chapter. There's an important message for us from this chapter this morning, from this passage, It is shown to us and it is brought out to us in the sense of how God in his covenant mercy is bringing about a means of redemption through the birth of this little son, this little baby who will be a godly line in future and who will be one of the forerunners of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But also I'd like you to note that Eve's faith comes through even more clearly here in verse 25. She says, God has granted me another child. Now that was something quite spectacular in a sense, to hear Eve saying something again. We would not maybe have expected to hear anything more from Eve after the descent into sin at the fall. But yet we find that Eve worships the Lord. She gives acknowledgement and blessing to the Lord by acknowledging his gift to her of a son. She immediately ascribes the birth of Seth to the Lord. She gives him a spiritual name. He's called Seth. Seth meaning an appointed one. Or the one who is a replacement, maybe, indicating that she realizes at that point in time that the Lord's hand is truly upon her. The Lord's hand is still upon Eve. And she emphasizes the providence of God being at work in her life by calling him that name, Seth, the one who is appointed. And then in verse 26, there are a few little things to notice here. Well, they're not so little. We have that, that disclosure of the divine name, Lord. At that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And the first real disclosure of the divine name, Lord, in the context of worship in the scriptures. This name has been pronounced as Jehovah or Yahweh in various places, but it's that covenant name of God, the Lord, which is especially revealed in the later time of Moses in the Exodus that we're seeing here. And there's something wonderful to see and to encourage us here this morning at the ending of verse 26. Here we have the first example of a public communal time of worship in the Old Testament church. Here we have that act of worship whereby men for the first time called upon the name of the Lord. Now that phrase in the Old Testament, you come across it very often in the Old Testament, and it usually means that it's usually within the context of the worship of God amongst the people of God. And you can imagine that prior to this time, this is going back a long way back now. It's sort of in between creation and the fall, and it's in between the Exodus and God giving the Ten Commandments and all of the later regulations in regard to worship. You can only just imagine that at this point of time, worship was really limited to households where the people of God came together and worshipped as families. There is an intimation from Moses that in the time of Enosh, son of Seth, that people did begin to gather in this way to worship together. So it's interesting, isn't it, that as we read through this chapter, we see the gifts that were given to the line of Cain. They were gifts of making, gifts of technology, gifts of development. They became all kinds of builders and blacksmiths and those who made things in order to ease the burden of life. They were those who were given the ability to make things, to make tools, to deal with the various elements of the earth and to turn them into something useful and meaningful for them. And yet, the line of Seth, they are the ones who become firstly involved in the very worship of God and bring about a certain public spiritual life to the church of the Old Testament. The progress of the worship of God. We're going back to the very, very early days here in the line of Seth. And it is Seth's descendants, in fact, that we see here that gather first to worship the Lord. Just another one point. It's interesting that the only ray of hope in this chapter comes from God. It comes from God alone. It is God who brings about these things in man. Man doesn't really contribute anything other than thanksgiving and worship to God for what he has done. And that, I hope, is what we are going to do today in terms of our praying. We're going to give thanks to God, and we're going to petition him for various needs, but we are ultimately acknowledging that he is the giver of all good gifts. He is the one who has brought everything to our feet. He is the one who has redeemed us from our sins and brought about a salvation for us that we have been saved from our sins within. None of God's people make a significant contribution to any of this. It is the work of God. And that ray of hope, of course, is the bringing of a covenant child into the world. It's the bringing of one who will change everything, who will be established in holiness, and who will ultimately bear a godly line, a line which will worship the Lord. Now, you remember Cain? He is a doer and a maker, and he is no doubt a busy man. He loves to work. But the line of Seth are going to be the line of ministers who will lead the nation of Israel, the Old Testament church, in the worship of God. There's something for us to note here. And it is this, that it is always not our plan that brings hope to rescue a wicked world, but it is always the work of God. It's God's plan, as we can see here from the beginning. This is the plan of God. This is God who has been at work. This is God who has appointed these things to happen in this way, just so that the outcome is according to his will. And it is God's plans which brings hope for redemption in the world. And that's a plan over which we ultimately have no control. We have no control over that. God works and wills in his own way to bring about his own plans and will in this world. You might think, well, what would have been the world's plan to combat the wickedness of Cain? What would have been our plan if we were left alone to combat this wickedness of Cain and this line of Cain that have been terrible sinners that have committed awful murders over these many years? I'm sure that we would have set up organisations and we would have set about committees to discuss these things and how to attack evil and with good and how to improve things. That's about the best that we can do, isn't it? We can plan and we can do these things, and sometimes that is right and good under God. But ultimately our plans will never bring about the solution that will be that final and ultimate solution to the sins of this world. We can never bring about the redemption of our souls. Only God can do that. So this is going to be the way in which God brings about redemption into this world. He begins with Seth. He begins with this little baby who comes from a righteous and a holy line. But God's plan is to bring this covenant child into the world, named Seth, who himself, in time, is going to rear godly children. And here's the importance of raising godly children, who themselves are going to raise godly children, who themselves are also going to raise godly children, and who themselves, as generation and generation and generation pass onwards, they continue to raise godly children and continue to be that holy line that worship the Lord. And by that, he is going to fight back against the wickedness of Cain, the sins of Cain. Well, why am I telling you this, and why preach on these verses this morning? Well, first of all, very simply, I want you to be encouraged in your praying this morning as we come to the Lord of all creation, to our God. I want you to be encouraged in your praying. I want you to be encouraged in the fact that we know and love and worship a God who is in total control, who is working out at this moment his providence in our lives, his plans and purposes for us, and who himself has provided a way of salvation for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has, for this purpose, out of the line of Seth, provided us with a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that we may be reconciled to him through his redeeming sacrifice. But I also want you to be encouraged, because of all of these things that we've seen this morning, to pray in faith, to come believing. We're not simply coming to mouth words to impress one another. We are going to be speaking to God. And that is an enormous privilege that we have this day. It's a wonderful privilege that we have. We're going to be speaking to God. We're going to be coming to him, not as we would towards one another, but we are going to be coming submissively and reverently as we approach him. And we're going to be recognizing who he is. But I would encourage you to come in faith, believing, knowing that God hears the prayers of his people and delights to answer them. 1 John chapter 5. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. When the Lord's people come believing, when they pray with just a kernel of faith, you remember the Lord Jesus' dealing of his disciples before he went to the cross, and how in that time the disciples' faith was struggling, it was weak, and yet our Lord encouraged them. He encouraged them. And we ought to be encouraged today. We ought to be encouraged as we come to God. We've seen the way in which the Lord has sustained us over the past year. We would ask that in the coming year that he would sustain us, but also enlarge us and help us in our worship and our church. See, when Christ sees a kernel of faith, he multiplies that 10 times. He comes to meet with us, meaning that we don't have to be perfect Christians to pray. We don't have to be those who have attained a certain height, but we do have to have faith in him. We do have to have faith in him, and we do have to believe in him, and we do have to have confidence in him when we come, knowing that the Lord does indeed delight in the prayers of his children and delights to answer prayers that are offered up in faith and in worship to him. Well, I'm going to close there with the message this morning, and we are now going to come to matters for prayer. And I've asked a number of men to lead us. There will be a few minutes after each man has prayed for the congregation also to offer up prayers in between, so please be encouraged to do that. Well, I'm just going to ask Pastor Sanders if he would graciously close this section of the service for us in prayer. So, Robert, would you pray for us? Thank you. Well, our closing hymn for this morning's service is hymn number 7. If you would turn to that, please. hymn number 7, based on the 95th Psalm. It's a parting hymn of praise for us this morning for all that the Lord has done and for all that he is also, I'm sure, going to do for his people. So Psalm 95, at the first verse. Come, let us praise the Lord with joy, our God acclaim, his greatness tell abroad and bless his saving name. Lift high your songs before his throne, to whom alone all praise belongs. Our God of matchless worth, our King beyond compare, the deepest bounds of earth, the hills are in his care. He all decrees, who by his hand prepared the land and formed the seas. In worship bow the knee, our glorious God confess. The great Creator, he, the Lord, our righteousness. He reigns unseen, his flock he feeds, and gently leads in pastures green. Come, hear his voice today. Receive what love imparts, his holy will obey, and harden not your hearts. His ways are best, and lead at last all troubles past to perfect rest. All troubles past to perfect rest. Well, we finish with that lovely sentence from that hymn. And now I'm just going to read for us the benediction over us, so let us bow our heads and our hearts before our God and Saviour. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.